recognizing that he has to improve himself as an Eved Hashem, is trying to explain in a Mizmor Chochmah, teaching Klal Yisrael how to be a praiseworthy person, how to be the ideal individual. So he says, Ashrei Ha'ish is what? What does man need to do in order to achieve an ideal state? Okay, so Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the man who, Asher lo halach ba'atzat reshaim, uv'derech hata'im lo amad, uv'moshav leitzim lo yashav. Okay, so I want to look, I'll spend a couple minutes on this pasuk. First of all, he starts in the negative. How are you to be a praiseworthy person? How do you achieve the status of Ashrei Ha'ish? First, he starts with negative. So why does he start with negative? So why does he start with negative in the first pasuk and then progress to positive in the second pasuk? Why do you suppose? Okay, why?
I don't know. I think human psychology, like in terms of that, you know, my, like, it's not actually expecting us to put in effort, is kind of say. I mean, of course, it is effort to master something, but less, like, takes less out of me to just not be part of it.
Also, the last thing is the thing that people remember. If you're going to be saying two things, and
okay,
you want something to stay in their mind, that's what you want to say last.
Okay, but certainly he doesn't want them to forget about the Sur Meira component, but that is the lasting message that he wants to share with them, yeah?
And also, like, in order to maybe build something, first you have to clean it out. Like, you have to, like, be, like, cleanse and, like, start from scratch and not be, like, in order to them.
Okay. In the second chelak here, he's presenting the models of a tzaddik and of a rasha. He's essentially saying to Bnei Israel, you have a choice. You can be a tzaddik or a rasha, right? But in order to make a conscious choice, you have to recognize the ramifications of each. Right, so he's saying before you can choose to do good, you have to recognize what the bad is, so therefore you can distance yourself from it. It's only once you've distanced yourself you can make the conscious and active choice to be good. So we see him saying first you have to remove yourself from all of the negative influences that could detract from your tzikut, and then consciously you can choose uvetorato Hashem will become uvetorato, right, which we'll discuss in the second pasuk. So he's explaining how to achieve the status of Ashrei Ha'ish, and first you have to Sur Meira, and then consciously you can Asei Tov. So look closer at Pasuk Aleph. We see three different seemingly synonyms of what you need to stay away from, what you have to remove yourself from. We see Chata'im, Rasha'im, and Leitzim. Okay, taking the omnisignificant approach, how do you see the three being distinct? And what's the progression of the pasuk? I'm sorry, I put them in the wrong order. Rasha'im first, Chata'im second, and Leitzim third. Okay? So while they all are connoting something negative that you want to remove yourself from, what's the difference in the status of each of these sinful or evil people? And why is it used in this progression? And also look at the verbs that are connected with each of them. When it's talking about the Rasha, it talks about lo halach ba'atzat Rasha'im. When it's talking about the Chataim, it says uvederech Chataim lo amad. And when it's talking about the Leitzim, it says v'moshav Leitzim lo yashav. So how are each of these three sinful people distinct? What is the progression? Why is there this progression based on the definitions of each of these terms? And why are each of the verbs that are connected with them specifically appropriate to be connected with each of them? Okay, any ideas? How did you distinguish between the three? Yeah, Chataim, Rasha'im, and Leitzim.
So I thought it was
going to be
like remorse and not as bad.
Okay.
So like Rasha'im are like just completely bad people that do everything possible to be bad, like consciously.
Okay.
And that, like, in order to follow them, you have to actually like go with them and like be with them. And then Chata'im is like doing bad things, but not necessarily as to be destructive, not necessarily as consciously. And that's like not as terrible almost, but still bad. And it's much easier to be in that category. So it only takes like standing in order to be in that category.
Okay.
And then like Leitzim is just like that can be, you know, even like good people can be prone to, or like better people can be prone to being like lazy, so that's something that it doesn't take a lot of effort to like fall into that category, but it's still something you have to like make sure you.
Okay. So Radak actually talks a little bit along those lines. He makes some differentiations with what you said though. Anyone else? Yeah.
I'm not sure about how to categorize them, but in terms of the different verbs, I think it's like, don't like walk by, like, you know, if you see evil doers here, do like walk in that area. Because if you walk in the area, you might end up like standing there hanging out with them. And if standing there, you might end up sitting down and like really being part of them.
Okay. So based on that, why does he specifically say you can't even walk by a Rasha'im, and the late team you shouldn't sit with? Based on that explanation, I hear what you're saying, and I think that's what Radak is saying also, but he ties it into the difference in each of the states of sinfulness of each of the categories. Yeah?
Well, also, I feel like very much what Sarah's saying, that Rasha'im are very much, it's very easy for us sometimes to, like, see them for who they are as Rasha'im. So, therefore, like, in terms of, like, walking by, like, a list, we might not perceive as something so bad, so therefore you'd be more inclined to sit with them. Whereas in Russia, you'd be less inclined to sit with them and just, like, walk by. You'd say, oh, I can just walk by them because I already know that that's bad and
right.
Think you're guarded.
Right, right. Even more about what Radak says, but he also gives a bit of he elaborates a bit more on the nature of their sins. Anyone else have something? Okay, so let's look at Radak. Who can explain the Radak in Pasuk Aleph, the Devar Malchel Shelo Alach Batzat Rasha'im? He differentiates. We're not going to read the whole thing because it's a bit lengthy, but I just want to start off with what he's saying. And then get into his definitions of each of the three. Does anyone want to read the Radak? Thanks.
From Asher Lo'alach?
Asher Lo'alach, yeah.
Asher Lo'alach b'etzat Rasha'im. Sikir tzula ha-derech hara ki yomana adam yinirav derech tavat ha'olam hazeh l'chov l'ishov l'ismoach u'pam gadal k'she'yamor al-da'atov v'yachal ha'kir ha'tov v'hara k'zhiru she'yasur m'derech ha-rasha'im v'lo yilech ba'atzatam. והרשעים הם החביבים לקנות למון ותאוות לבם בעולם הזה, ולא יבחינו בין הטוב והרע, ויגזלו ויגנבו ויהרוגו בעבור הממון מרוב חמדתם.
Just explain the first part so far.
So, I guess the Rasha'im are people that don't distinguish between the Derech HaTov and Derech HaRa, and like all they do is go with the desires of their hearts in this world.
Okay, so they pursue, they're taught even from their youth to pursue the derech tavat olam hazeh, the physical, the corporeal desires in this world, l'chov, l'shtov, l'smach, v'bang gadal, they're raised in these habits. And then when he grows up, he starts to distinguish. Ala ker hatov hara, his hero, sheyasor mi derech hasha'im. So he needs to be warned, sheyasor mi derech hasha'im. He needs to be warned to turn away from the Derech Rasha'im and not to follow their advice. Okay, so that's why Radak is explaining. David began Pasuk Aleph with the necessity of the Sur Meira, right? You're raised with all of these physical desires, and so now you have to distinguish Bin Tov L'Ra, and you have to see how to pursue the good and how to refrain from the bad. So he gives the definition. Who are these Rasha'im? Hei mechavivim liknot mamon v'tavat libam ba'alam hazeh v'lo yivchano bin atov v'hara v'yigzalu v'yignavu v'yarogu v'avor ha'mamon me'rov chem. So how does he define who are these Rasha'im? These are people that are completely preoccupied with the material, right? Heim chavivim liknot, they rush to buy mamon v'tavat libam b'olam hazeh, all of the physical desires. They don't discern between tov and ra. V'igzalu, so thereby they steal. V'ignavu, v'yahrogu, even kill. Bavor hamamon merov chemdatam, in order for their physical needs, due to their tremendous lust. Okay. Okay, if you go down two more lines from there, v'samachim ahem. Yeah.
Is there another thing that everyone from their youth gets brought up with Derech Tavat Olam? I'm just getting confused.
No, I think he's just writing at the beginning. He's saying that the reason why he starts with the negative and doesn't start with the positive is because you have to remove yourself from this negative. So he says it's human nature, right, to be brought up with Tavat Olam Hazeh, right? There are values in this world, material values in this world, like Le'chov, Lishtov, Lismoch, to eat, drink, and be merry, right? But when David is writing this Mizmor Chochmah, this pedagogical Mizmor, in order to instruct b'nei Yisrael k'sheyamod al da'atov yachal hakir hatov v'hara. When you grow up and when you begin to be able to discern between tov and ra, you need to be warned. His hero, he's warning them she'asor mederach hasha'im, that you need to turn away from the corporeality, you need to turn away from the obsession with the physicality, and you have to recognize and discern between tov and ra, and therefore you have to choose what he's going to talk about in pasuk bet. So I think that was just the general introduction of why he's starting with a negative, and now he's explaining what is this negative that you have to remove yourself from. So first he's explained that the Rasha'im are those who rush to pursue the material. Okay, if you go two lines from where we left off, I think it's Banashim, Lishmo Alehem. Yeah. Okay, so he's saying here that the Rasha'im, and this is how they're going to be distinguished from the Chata'im, the Rasha'im not only do this for themselves, but they brag to other people. They make it seem they brag about all of their acquisitions, regardless of how they achieve those, and they show everybody, and they often mislead people into thinking because all of these things seem very pleasing temporarily. People don't recognize the future harm. So they kind of embellish their achievements, and they don't necessarily share with them that they got it through the means of Genever, Gazela, or other immoral acts. And they show everybody, and they brag to everybody, look at all of my acquisitions, and this leads them, this is the Eitzat Rasha'im, this leads them, other people, to follow suit, because they see all of these things as very pleasing, superficially, and they don't realize the ramifications of it. Okay, if you skip down two more lines, he's going to explain he briefly explains the Chata'im. Uferush lo amad. So the Chata'im are doing similar things to as the Rasha'im, but they are not, they're gaining these things by immoral means, but they're not bragging, they're not misleading, they're not trying, they're not giving etzot to other people, they're not trying to coerce other people or to persuade other people to join them in their sinful ways. So lo amad lo nitakev bechavratam kedei shelo yilmad mima'aseihem, right? So whereas the Rasha'im, it says lo halach, because they're going out trying to persuade you to join in their evil ways. However, with regard to the Chata'im, even though they are also engaged in sinful behavior, they're not going out trying to convince you to join them. So it says lo halach bata Rasha'im, you shouldn't even walk past these Rasha'im, you shouldn't get enmeshed in their persuasion. But with regard to the Chata'im, lo amad, meaning you shouldn't, lo nitakev b'chevratam, you shouldn't stay in their company, kedei shelo yilmad mima'aseihem, in order that you don't learn from their ways. It's not to say that they're going to try to persuade you, so it's okay if you kind of walk past them. They're not going to seek you out, but you shouldn't seek them out. You shouldn't stay in their company, because you could learn from their sinful behavior, even if they're not trying to coerce you into joining them. Okay. So the leitzim, as you all mentioned, are a bit more of a less obvious type of sinfulness. So look at how he explains the leitzim. Often, some of you suggested that the leitzim usually is translated as kind of lazy people. He describes it a little bit differently. Leitzim he describes as arumim. Okay, these are cunning people, and he'll elaborate a bit more. So how does he distinguish uvamoshav leitzim lo yashav?
Okay.
Okay, so it certainly has some connotation of laziness. La anashim batalim yoshvei karnot, idle people who sit in the corners. But what really is the nature of their sin? It's not just that they're lazy. What's the nature of the latzim sin? Why is it considered to be not necessarily as strict or as significant of a sin as the Rasham and the Chataim, but still a substantive sin nonetheless? It's not just that they're lazy, but what are they doing while they're acting lazily? Halaitzim heim ha'arumim bedas l'ra'a. They're cunning people. Arumim, right? Like the Nachash in Gan Eden. They're cunning people. V'notnim dofi umum bivnei adam. What does that mean? What's a mum? A blemish, right? So they speak badly. They taint people's reputations. Umagalim sod zel lezeh. They reveal secrets about people. Meaning they're speaking lashon hara. They're tainting people. They're saying bad things about people. V'henyan hazel la'anashim. Usually it's talking about la'anashim are people, la'anashim batalim, these idle people, yoshvei karnot, that's sitting in the corners, speaking badly, tainting people's reputation. U'mipnei zeh amar, u'v'moshav leitzim lo yashav. And that's why it says, u'moshav leitzim lo yashav. Okay, so you definitely were right that it starts off with the rasha'im, and the adjectives that are describing each of them also reflect the nature of the sin. So Rasha'im are the strongest type of sin, and it talks about Atzat Rasha'im, because the Rasha'im are the ones that are going out giving advice, going out bragging, and trying to persuade people to join them in their sinful behavior. The Chata'im, it says, Uvedera Chata'im, the ways of the Chata'im. The Chata'im are going out and doing the sinful stuff for themselves, but they're not trying to convert other people to join them, right? And the leitzim are sitting there. Moshav leitzim. The leitzim are sitting there together, idly on the street corners, speaking badly, tainting people's reputations, revealing secrets about people. So we see why the adjectives of each of them are appropriate for the nature of each of these sins. So now let's look at the verbs. When it comes to the rasha'im, lo halach, you can't even walk by, because the rasha'im are the strongest, the most obvious type of sinners, like you said. So you can't even walk by, because they're coming out to get you. They're coming out to persuade you to join them. So you should be cautious. Like Radak says, his hero, he's warning you. He's warning man at the beginning, right? You have to be cautious to not be taken in by the atzat rasha'im. You shouldn't even walk by. With regard to the chata'im, it's a less strict type of sin, even though they're engaging in similar practices to the rasha'im. It's a less strict type of sin, because they're not going out to try to convert you. So therefore, lo amad, don't stand in their company. You can walk by, but don't stand in their company, because you could learn from their ways, and you could try to join them, even if they're not trying to get you to join them. With regard to the leitzim, it's not the most obvious, right? Sometimes it just looks like anashim batalim, right? Men sitting idly together. However, what they're doing is also extremely destructive. So it says, lo yashav b'moshav leitzim, right? Because you can't sit among them. It's the least obvious type of sin. Therefore, you can't sit among them, because you might not realize what they're doing, but what they are doing can actually have destructive consequences. Thus we have YW is starting with the negative, right? You have to be cautious of each of these types of people and remove yourself from them in order to pursue the good, in order to become the tzaddik, in order to become the praiseworthy individual. And we see once you rid yourself of these negative distractions, you have the ability to actively pursue the good. So what is the good? We see in Pasuk Bet, we have a clear contrast to Pasuk Aleph. So what is this good? Pasuk Bet, Ki im b'torat Hashem chevtzo, u'v'torato yoge yomam v'layla. Okay, so your chevtz, your desire, the ashrei ha'ish is ideal, should not be to join the chata'im, the shayim, the leitim, but rather, you should follow the Torah. Ki im b'torat Hashem chefso. His desire should be Torat Hashem. U'v'torato yageh yomam v'layla. And in his Torah, he should kind of occupy himself day and night. So look at the transition in this pasuk. It goes from b'torat Hashem, that should be his chefetz, to u'v'torato. So if you look just very quickly at Rashi, u'v'torato yageh, he describes to this pasuk the process of learning. V'techila hi nikrat Torat Hashem, u'misha amal ba hi nikrat Torato.
Okay, so if you look at the nuance in the pasuk, we see that in the first half of the pasuk, it's talking about Torah Hashem. In the second half, once one umisha amava ba, once one becomes well versed in Torah, once one really delves into Torah, once one really internalizes what he's learning after he's ridden himself of all of the distractions and all of the negative influences, then uvatorah to, it becomes his Torah. It becomes part of it. You master it, it'll become your own, it'll become part of you. So man can choose to be bad or good. Man can choose to be a tzaddik or a rasha. If man chooses to follow the chatai and the rashim b'leitzim, we see what's going to happen to him in pasuk dalet, the mashal for the rasha. However, if one first rids himself of those negative influences and then is able to pursue uvetorato, uvetorat Hashem, uvetorato yoge yomam v'layla, then he'll be able to achieve tzidkut, then he'll be able to achieve the level of a praiseworthy individual, of ashrei ha'ish. So now what is this tzaddik? How can we understand what the tzaddik is? So if you follow the Torah, if you first rid yourself of the distraction, then follow the Torah, you can achieve the tzaddik, which is illustrated through the mashal and pasuk gimel. So let's look at the mashal together. He's very descriptive in this mashal, pasuk gimel. Okay? Eitz shatul al pilgei mayim, asher peryo yitain bi'ito, ve'elehu lo yibol, v'chol asher yasa yatzliach. Okay, so if we take an omni-significant approach, I think these are very vivid, very rich images that we can interpret to give us a better picture of who is this ideal individual that David is instructing Bnei Israel to try to become. So on the mashal level, let's just define each of these terms, and then we'll explain or we'll kind of read into them what he could be referring to in terms of the nimshal. So what's an eitz shatul? Anyone, this is the mashal of the tzaddik. So what's an eitz shatul? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so eitz shatul is a deeply planted, a deeply rooted tree. Okay, we'll do the nimshalim of each after. Al palge mayim, what does that mean?
Stream of water.
Right, so it's a deeply rooted tree in a stream of water. In the stream of water, in the banks of water. Asher peryo yitain bi'ito. What is that? Gives off fruit bi'ito in its proper times. Alehi lo yubol.
Leaves don't dry.
Leaves don't dry, or leaves don't fall off as a result of it drying. Kol asher yaseh yatzliach. Right. All that it produces is successful. Okay. By contrast, so we see the lengthy, the very detailed, the very vivid description of the mashal, of the tzaddik. What do we see about the rasha? What is the rasha compared to? We'll get into the nimshal of ichi. Okay, kamot, the chaff, right? The chaff is the extraneous, valueless, purposeless covering of a kernel of grain. Asher titvena beruach. Okay. So let's now explain the nimshal of each of these details, and then we'll explain why the tzaddik perhaps is a much more elaborate mashal than the rasha. Okay. Eitz shatul. How would you understand this in terms of the tzaddik? Why is the tzaddik being described as an eitz shatul, a deeply rooted tree?
His principles, his morals, something that he's standing on.
Okay, so deeply committed, perhaps we can say the roots equal Torah. Okay, he's deeply rooted, he's unwavering, something like that, just like a deeply rooted tree is not going to be blown over. Al palge mayim. Mayim is often a metaphor. Right. So the roots are the Torah, or the roots are established in the water, so the mayim could be the Torah. So al pilgei mayim, it's on the banks of water. It has the Torah that's constantly, just like the water is constantly nourishing or making sure the tree doesn't dry up. So too, the Torah is constantly affirming, right? Torah affirms the tzaddik's commitments or foundations, like we said up there. Okay. Asher peryo yitain be'ito. How would you understand that?
After that it's on time.
Okay, so certainly the ito part, but also asher peryo yitain. How do we understand that on the nimshal's level?
I mean, I guess you could either say it's like the fruits of his labor.
Which are?
Like, well, I was thinking it's either it could, or it could literally mean like periodia, like his children.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It could go either way.
Okay, but I think you can kind of say it as I think that could be the same thing, right? Asher peryo yitain be'ito. So either it was he. He's producing something, right? It's not about him. It's producing. It's giving to others. So either he's giving it to his children. Perhaps you could say a tzaddik is teaching the Torah, right, to his disciples, whether it's, you know, biologically his children or other disciples. Right? Asher peryo yitain be'ito. He's giving off fruit. It's not about himself, but he is giving of himself to others. Okay. What does it mean, be'ito? In its proper time, its appropriate time. What do you suppose that means? Yeah?
No, we were talking about like a big discussion. A lot of times, like, things that are good need to be given at the proper time. So, like, that he knows not only how to like give things to others, but he knows when it will be
beneficial. Okay, when it will be well received. And also he has to recognize when it's fit for him to give it, right? When he is well versed, when it's appropriate for, when he is deeply committed or when he has the proper Torah knowledge to, you know, convey to others. Okay, so he gives of himself to others at appropriate times. You can say either appropriate for him, or when it will be well received. Okay. Alehu lo yibol. How do we understand that? Alehu lo yibol. What do the elim do? What's the function in the mashal? Yeah.
I mean, it could really to provide. I was thinking to provide shade. The
Bible
says that the leaves were used for medicine.
Okay. Okay. So there is some functional purpose, whether it is to provide shade or for other purposes, right? So the alehi lo yubol in the mashal, the leaves won't dry out, the leaves won't fall off, meaning they'll still provide, the tree will provide shade for people sitting under it. So too, on the nimshal's level, the tzaddik will protect B'nai Yisrael from the Tzaddik will protect B'nai Yisrael from bad, meaning the will protect them by ridding them of negative influences or by showing them and teaching them Torah. Kol asher yaseh yatzliach, right? The Tzaddik along the same lines, right, will succeed in influencing positively. Okay. So now let's look at the nimshal of the rasha. All right, what's the motz, the chaff of grain? Why is, how do we understand the nimshal of the motz with regard to the rasha?
It's worthless.
It's worthless, right? There's no purpose. The rasha'im, valueless, purposeless in life. They're not fulfilling their purpose. Asher tidfenu beruach. How do we understand that?
Like
The motz is very flimsy. It blows in the wind. How do we understand that in terms of the Rasha, and how specifically as a distinction or as the opposite of what we saw in the Tzaddik? Yeah?
Yeah, like he has no like set principles. He just goes with the flow of whatever.
Exactly. It's the opposite of Eitz Shatul, the deeply rooted tree. The motz, Asher Tzitzben Aruach, is the opposite of that, right? So he has no deeply rooted principles. He doesn't have, he's very easily influenced.
Not all Rishonim are easily influenced.
Okay, you're right, but he's just trying to use this Asher Tzitzben Aruach.
What?
Yeah, he's often unstable because he doesn't stick to committed principles. He's constantly not grounded in the proper foundations. Okay, so we see here the more elaborate mashal of the tzaddik and a much briefer mashal of the rasha. Why do you suppose David is giving a much more detailed description of the tzaddik? Yeah.
Oh, because he wants people to like want to be the tzaddik, so he's gonna elaborate on how great it is to be the tzaddik.
Okay.
As opposed to.
So it's more for marketing.
Well, I mean, you could say like he should say how bad the Russia is, and then people won't want to be the Russia. But I think what we were saying is he wants people to make that active choice to be the tzaddik, as opposed to I'm not gonna be a Russia, so therefore he's elaborating.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe also like he's trying to show like the deepness of the tzaddik, like the complexity. Usually like that's more of a positive thing than like the Rosh Hashanah was like, you know, one or two things to describe him. It's like, you know, like he's not like it's just about telling a second.
Right. The Rosh he's describing very superficially because he feels that the Rosh is much less complex than the tzaddik. The Rasha never really develops his own individuality. He constantly remains easily swayed. He doesn't really develop his commitments, his foundations, his values, his core. So the tzaddik, it's much easier because of the multifaceted nature, because of his depth, because of his convictions, because he's not only doing it for himself, but he's doing it to give to other people as well. He's much more sophisticated. He's worked on himself. He's established his commitments. And therefore, he's described in much more detail, both in terms of who he is and in terms of what he contributes to others. The motz, right, or the rasha, doesn't really contribute that much. He hasn't developed himself to that degree. He doesn't have the same depths or the same sophistication. And therefore, David devotes much less time in the description.
Didn't we say in Shura that often someone who's a rasha or someone has done hazim actually is more depth than a tzaddik, in terms of when we were talking about, say, channeling your being higher after a or something like that.
Right. So I think what Rambam was saying there when he quotes Chazal, and also Rav Soloveitchik was saying there when they used that, they were using that, they quoted Chazal to mean that there is no tzaddik gamor. So don't feel when you have sins that you should just forget it, just abandon it. There's nothing you can do. You're down and out, and so there's no hope. They're trying to motivate people to do tshuva by saying, because everyone needs to do tshuva and there is no tzadigah more, by saying, look, you can even rise to a higher power. The Rasha is not somebody that's introspective, that's trying to raise himself up, that's trying to develop his own individuality and come to stronger commitments. So yeah, if you're saying someone who was a Rasha, who is then introspecting and engaging in the moral religious catharsis that we're talking about in Rav Soloveitchik, then yeah, certainly, because he's on his way to becoming a tzaddik, and he's starting to become the Eitz Shatul Pilgei Mayim. But the Rasha that he's talking about to distinguish himself, to distinguish from the tzaddik, is somebody that doesn't care, that doesn't want to intersect, that doesn't want to engage in this catharsis, that doesn't want to recognize the Hester Panim, to then, you know, motivate him to restore that relationship. So you're right, in terms of it, you do have to develop that depth if you're able to use those destructive forces, what we're talking about in Rav Soloveitchik, and channel them in such a way that you can use them in a constructive way. But the Rasha that he's talking about is the Motzei Shetzis Ben Aruach, is the very easily swayed, easily influenced, not really internalizing, not really introspecting, and not really seeking to become an Eitz Shatul. Yeah.
I also think just by having like two lines on the Rasha, it's emphasizing the purpose of like purposelessness that
right.
like Sad we're talking about. I talk about one sentence, I'm done.
Right.
That's all I can say about him.
Right. Right. So again, he's not necessarily giving an accurate portrayal, or Mashal in general doesn't give an accurate portrayal of anything, but it's not good. He's using this specifically to juxtapose the two, to show why you should be a tzaddik and why you should not be a rasha. So I think you're right to an extent that it is partially for marketing purposes, but I think a lot of the description really plays into his conceptions in terms of the content of what a tzaddik is and what a rasha is. And he's using the words, using the images, and using the more elaborate or less elaborate descriptions to kind of show the nature of each of these states. Okay, so we saw at the beginning, we saw Sar Mirav Esatov, remove yourself from all of the bad. We saw exactly what the bad is, and follow the good. If you choose to remove yourself from the bad, you will choose not to be a Mos, Asher Tipen Baruch, but instead, you will choose to be a tzaddik and itcha tol pilgei mayim. So then we see in the last two psukim the ramifications of such a choice. If you look in pasuk hey and vav, he says al kain lo yekumu rasha'im b'mishpat v'chata'im v'adzat tzaddikim. How do you translate that? And you'll notice also this is a tikbolet. Lo yekumu is implied in the second half of the voice, in the second half of the verse. Al kein lo yekumu rasha'im b'mishpat. How do you see that? How do you understand that? Lo yekumu, the rasha'im will not be able to stand in mishpat. How do you understand that?
The last verse.
Okay. So al kein lo yikumu. So let's read them together. Al kein lo yikumu rishaim v'mishpat v'chata'im ba'adat tzadikim ki yodei Hashem derech tzadikim v'derech rishaim toved. So how do you understand them together? And what is this mishpat that he's talking about?
Like mishpat Hashem, because Hashem desires derech tzadikim,
okay.
Not derech rishaim. Okay. Therefore, lo yikumu rishaim v'mishpat.
Okay. So the Rishaim will not be able to stand up in judgment, right? The Rishaim will not be able to exonerate themselves. The Chataim, the Rishaim, the Leitzim from Pasuk Aleph, they won't be able to stand along with the Tzadikim in the Adat Tzadikim, right? Because they are not able to justify their actions. So the Rishaim won't be able to be, I mean, obviously without tshuva, they won't be able to be among the tzaddikim who are exonerated in the eyes of Hashem, who ultimately will be considered innocent or will be able to stand up in court as a result of their merits. Okay, in the last pasuk there, which we see in light of pasuk, ki yodei Hashem, right, Hashem, the ultimate dayan, ki yodei Hashem derech tzaddikim, Hashem knows the ways of tzaddikim, v'derech rasha'im toveit, and the ways of the rasha'im will be destroyed. So the Rasha'im will be destroyed as a result of their bad ways, in punishment for the bad ways, and Hashem knows, and Hashem will protect the Derech Tzadikim, because ultimately they have pursued, ultimately they have achieved this H.A.T.U.L. Pilgei Mayim. Okay, so we see in the last two psukim, Hashem ultimately, Hashem the ultimate Dayan, Hashem knows the derech of the Rasha'im and the derech of the Tzadikim. And ultimately, Hashem will protect or Hashem will reward the Tzadikim, and Hashem will punish or Hashem will destroy the Rasha'im. So that leads us to the mentality, if you're good, you'll be rewarded. And if you're bad, you'll be punished. And this precisely was the mentality, the outlook of Eov, in Sefer Eov, right? At the beginning of the book of Job, Eov had this mentality. Eov was a tzaddik, and it says it explicitly in the first couple of psukim of the Sefer. Eov was a tzaddik, he was tam, yashav, yireh, lukim, he saw meirah, he did everything as he was supposed to, and as a result, he was blessed. He had tremendous wealth, he had lots of animals and property, he had lovely children, he had a wife, he was healthy, everything was going great for him. So this was his outlook. Tzadik v'tov lo rasha v'ralo. If you're good, like I am, I'm a tzadik, you'll be rewarded. If you're bad, you'll be punished. However, all of a sudden, and we hear what's going on through the mashal of the dialogue between the Satan and Hashem in the first two prakim, Eov unfortunately is not privy to that information. All of a sudden, Eov is afflicted with all sorts of afflictions. First, the afflictions of his property and animals, then the afflictions of his children, of the loss of his children, and then finally the afflictions of his own physical health. And all of a sudden, Eov's whole worldview of Sadi Vitovla Rasha Baralo is challenged. And Eov doesn't know what to do with that. So Eov goes through the process and the progression of Sefer Eov, trying to figure out what is the nature of this hashgacha. What is the nature of, in philosophical terms, providence, right? Is there divine providence? Is there individual providence, which was a heavily debated topic among medieval philosophers? How can I, a tzaddik, be getting the same fate as a rasha? So even though Hashem sets up this equation in the last two psukim of Tzadik V'Tov Lo Rasha V'Ra'lo, we see through the book of Eov that what happens for Tzadik V'Ra'lo? What happens when not all of the tzaddikim are rewarded and not all of the rasha'im are punished? What happens when a tzaddik has bad happening to him? And conversely, what happens when a rasha has good happening to him? V'Rasha V'Tov Lo. Okay. So we'll look at this question, and then we'll read it back into the last two psukim of Mizmor Aleph. Next class, we'll also discuss why this is fit to be an introductory parak, or why some people want this to be an introductory parak to all of Sefer Tehillim, based on the content and also based on the styles of the rest of the Mizmorim. I just wanted to ask you, and I know documents are packed.